How's everybody doing today? Good, good. I hope you're being jolly. I hope you're having a jolly time of the year, regardless of what you might be facing or dealing with. I hope you're able to keep your jolly going, as Lorana directed us and reminded us over the last 2 weeks. Life is so much funner and more enjoyable when we keep our jolly, right, huh? Look at someone and say, I want to see you jolly. Now smile at them real big. Let them see let them see the jolliness. All right. I'm going to get right into the word. Is that okay? I don't have nothing I need to echo. Our good-looking, handsome staff pastors gave you all the information you needed. Amen. I got an amen off of that. All right. You know what to get them for Christmas? Cookies. They said they like cookies. Hook them up with some cookies. So today I'm going to talk to you just about Mary and Joseph and really how we are called just like they were called. Today's message is really simple. I hope to keep it in a simple time frame. But I was thinking about and just considering what to share today, and I just had this thought in my heart about how they were called and the aspects of their calling, and how oftentimes, most of the time, what they went through, what they experienced, is what we go through and what we experience. So there's actually more than 10, but we're going to hit 10 points real brief on each point. We're going to see how they were called, and we're going to see how we're called the same way. And I'm going to leave it up to you to compare yourself. I'm not going to compare you, but I'm just going to leave it up to your thoughts, your hearts, your convictions for comparison. So the first one, and I'm not going to read the story. We know the Christmas story, so no need to be redundant with that this morning. So I'm just going to jump into the 10 points. Number one, they were given an opportunity to serve. Outside of the norm, they were both very good Jewish individuals. So they already had a role in the community. They already participated in different aspects of their religion. But yet they were given a special opportunity, a very unique opportunity. An opportunity that they were divinely called into. And we are no different. We might be like Mary and Joseph, good church people, good Christians. We believe in God, we believe in Jesus, we do our best to follow the Bible, even though we might find ourselves struggling at times, but in general, doing good. But then just like them, every single one of us at times in our life, and it can be for a long-term season or it might be for a short-term season, every single one of us has these moments that God gives us an opportunity, that God gives us a chance to do something special, to do something unique, to do something that is absolutely impactful to whomever he is sending us to. This unique moment could be with a stranger in the mall. This unique moment could be with a doorway of opportunity with a family member that you haven't seen in years. This moment can be with your best friend. This moment can be with people you go to church with. This moment could be a new ministry started. This moment can be a new mission endeavor. This moment can last 10 years, this moment could last a year, this moment could last a day. But what's important is that God calls all of us to special moments in our life. This leads us to number two. If I can get some water, please. If I can have someone give me a little bit of water. This leads us to number two. They were given a moment, but they were or an opportunity to serve, but they were also given a choice. Now, the Bible does not direct, we don't see a direct choice. You know, we can take the position that it seems like an almost voluntold experience. Have you ever been voluntold? Husbands, you are voluntold every single day. I would bet the bank on it. My wife lovingly voluntells me all the time. So they had a choice. Mary could have looked at what she was not or what she thought she was not. And she could have said, no, not me. I'm too young for this. I don't want to go through this. I don't want to deal with these issues. I don't want to put myself in this line. No, this disrupts everything. Joseph could have taken the same position. Oh, no, I love you, God. You know, I'm 100% dedicated to my community. I believe in our beliefs. I'm with you, Lord. I worship you heart and soul, but oh, no. But they didn't. They could have come up with all the typical excuses that humans come up with to walk away from an opportunity that God yields. But they didn't. They did what they were asked to do. They did what they were called to do. You and I, we do have a choice. And if we say yes, it doesn't mean that God loves you anymore. If you say no, it doesn't mean that God loves you any less. Because His love is not based on a contingency of whether we say yes or no. So we have a choice. But within the realm of that choice, there is outcomes. Can you imagine if Mary and Joseph would have said no? I mean, obviously, God, we don't know if God had a plan B. That is totally reading in between the lines. I would never say that. But God's plan was to save the world. And so just because of His plan, we realize that He would have went to somebody else. But there would have been a delay in the process. There would have been a delay in everything that God wanted to do. There would have been issues. Because, see, the Bible says the steps of a righteous person is ordered by the Lord. So every step of a righteous person is planned, is ordered, and there is purpose and destiny built around those steps. So the steps that led Jesus to talk with the disciples when they came back from fishing and said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men, was a destined step by God. And if Mary and Joseph would have said no, that destined step would have completely changed. Because Mary and Joseph would not have said yes. When God gives us an opportunity and we say no, we have to really realize the ramifications of that. The ramifications is not an effect toward the love of God in our life, but the ramifications is a delay, an opportunity for somebody else to experience the hand of God working through us in their lives. Are you breathing? I guess you can breathe and listen at the same time, can't you? Number three is there was a price to pay. There was a big price to pay. The price of change, the price of doing things different, the price of maybe losing some relationships, the price of having to leave that community that they thought they was going to be living in. there was a price to pay. And yes, I would be lying to you if I was to get up here and say the calling of God or the directives of the Lord or whatever God wants us to do is just wonderful. It's great. It's all reward. It's all blessing. Yes, there is reward and there is blessing. We're going to hit some of that. But there is also a price. To much is given, much is required. And so I have to throw this out here. They had a price to pay, and they chose to pay it. When we accept a directive from the Lord, there is a price to pay. And we must accept that price. But on the offset of that, whenever you pay for something, don't you also get something in return? Right? You pay for the electric bill. What do you have in your house this time of the year? Lights, heat, right? You pay that monthly car payment. What are you going down the road in? A car, right? You pay for all those clothes that your wives like to wear, men, and what do you have? A hot-looking wife. There might be a price that we pay because of it, but there's also a reward. There's also an experience. See, Mary and Joseph said yes. They said yes to the call. They said yes with the choice. They said yes with the price to pay. And because they said yes, they had such a unique experience with God that they would not have had any other way. They had angels talking with them. They had a star. They had an experience with the star. They had people coming into their lives blessing them. They were given the opportunity to give birth and to raise the individual that would absolutely save the world. So yes, there was a price, but there was a reward. There was a blessing. There was an experience with God. When we say yes, there is blessings that comes along with the yes. When we pay the price, there are rewards for us. There's rewards for saying yes to God. There is blessings for saying yes to God. And I'm not just talking about the blessing of seeing someone get saved. But I'm talking about God Himself blessing you. Sometimes it's monetarily. There's times in my life I've been blessed monetarily because I said yes to something God wanted me to do. But not all the time is it monetarily. Sometimes it's just by spiritual health. I can honestly say I am spiritually healthy because of what God has called me to do. I can also say I've been rewarded to have relationships with wonderful and beautiful people like yourself. I wouldn't have these relationships with wonderful and beautiful people if I wouldn't have said yes and paid the price to what God has called me to do. So yes, there is a price to pay. Yes, changes has to be made. But yes, there is also blessings that comes along with it. Experiences with God that cannot be had no other way, that outweighs the typical things that we strive for in life. Number five is they had to change their plans. We talked about this in one of the past couple Wednesdays. They had to change what they were planning to do. They was not going to be able to be just a nice, sweet little couple in their hometown where Joseph worked as a carpenter and Mary was a nice little homemaker and they were raising those kids in just the way of the standard traditional Jewish ways. No, it all changed. Their plans changed. When we say yes, yes, things might be different. Down to just the minuscule detail all the way up to the large life-altering changes. It could be either or in between. For instance, you go to Walmart, you thought you was going to spend 10 minutes in there, you spent an hour in there because you saw 10 church people that wants to talk to you. Which is wonderful because you have those wonderful relationships. And then on your way out, you're rushing. You're like, I got to get home. I got to get dinner on the stove. I got to fix this, the issue with the car. And all of a sudden, you come across somebody that all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just gives you a nudge, just gives you a little push. Stop, collaborate, and listen. The Holy Spirit is here with a brand new addition. I got to work for you today. Don't say no, because you know you have the price to pay. Boy, I need to record me a rapping record. Laron is like, can you imagine that? Hip hop, John Rhodes. How disastrous. I would humiliate my children. But no, seriously. You know, you stepped out of Walmart. You're already 50 minutes behind schedule. And then God just, you know, gives you that opportunity to minister to somebody in whatever capacity. Your plans is going to change. It could be a 10-minute talk, an hour-long talk. It could have you taking this person to a hotel, buying them a hotel room and dinner and all that kind of jazz. You know, that's minuscule. Or let's say you have a dream, continuous dream of you packing everything up and moving across country to do something that God has called you to do. Every plan that you had is going to change because they don't do things on the East Coast like they do on the West Coast. Everything's changing, right? So it can be as small as you can imagine. It can be as large as you can imagine. But Mary and Joseph said yes to the change, a change of plans. And we have to realize on our journey of faith, when God calls us to do something, we might have to say yes to a change of plans as well. Now the next one is, they didn't expect it. God came to them. Think about this. Mary was just doing her thing in her house, and all of a sudden, here bust in an angel. Greetings, highly favored one of the Lord. And the Bible says that she freaked out. She was scared. The angel said to her, don't be scared. This announcement just kind of came out of the clear, out of the blue. Joseph making plans to really divorce this young lady because she was pregnant and he wasn't the daddy. He was asleep, he had a dream, and an angel came to him in a dream and just unraveled the plan, unraveled the purpose. They didn't expect it. Let me tell you this. Oftentimes, the greatest things that God uses us for is the things that we don't plan, but is the things that He gives us to do so unexpectedly. Sometimes when we see something and we like it and we plan it out, we kind of dictate it. We kind of shape it and shift it. Be like, oh, I like to do this for God, or I like to do that for God. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, God uses both scenarios. In my experience, in my personal life and dealing with people over the years, the greatest impacts came from God just dumping somebody in someone's lap and they saying yes to it and running with it. We can't always plan to do work A, B, and C for God. It's kind of like, you know, when your kid's playing video games and you say, hey, I need you to go cut the grass. They might have planned to straighten their room. They might have planned to wipe down the bathroom sink. They might have even planned, if they're really good, to unload the dishwasher. But what you needed them to do was cut that grass. And the greatest impact and the greatest help that they would have done was not clean the room, not wipe the bathroom sink, not unload the dishwasher, but take care of that grass. And sometimes that's what God does for us. You can have a plan to do this for Him. You can have a plan to do that for Him. And all that's great and all that's wonderful and that is beneficial for the kingdom. But the greatest thing that He could have you or He needs you to do is what He just drops into your lap to do at that given moment, at that given time with you saying yes to. Amen? And that's what Mary and Joseph did. I guarantee you they had plans just because of how the Bible describes their character. They had plans. But God just, boom, just dropped it. Called them when they didn't expect it. Number seven. I'm kind of going fast to these, right? LaRonna freaks out when I say anything over 3 points. She's like, you can't shut up with 3 points. How are you going to talk with 10 points? She sounds better than how I made her sound. But she... They had the heart that God needed. They had the heart that God needed. God needed what was in them. So when the angel came to Mary, he said that she was favored of the Lord. Now, to really understand that, you have to take a dive into what it really means to be favored of the Lord and why someone would be favored by God. That's another talk at another time, but just that little comment from an angel saying she was favored by the Lord gives us a volume of information about her. About her heart, her mind, her actions, her choices. She had in her what God needed to fulfill this mission. Joseph, just seeing how he was going to divorce her quietly, and he was not going to do anything that would allow harm to her, shows a level of compassion and a level of grace and not a revengeful or I'm going to get you back attitude. This was a beautiful couple, very righteous and very holy. But if you was to ask them, hey, do you think you have what it takes to give birth to the Son of God as a virgin, as a first-time father? I guarantee you they'll be like, are you crazy? No. And so oftentimes, in our lives, when God calls us to do something and He just drops that mission in our lap, so oftentimes we don't look at ourselves in the way that God views us, but we look at ourselves in what we see when we examine our past and our present and when we look in the mirror and we begin to consider ourselves as unable or non-able to do whatever God calls us to do. But when God calls us to do something, guess what? We already have in us what He needs to get the job done. Not what you need to get the job done. No, we have in us what He needs to get the job done. So we don't have to look in the mirror and be like, oh no, you're not this and you're not that. We don't have to examine our past and be like, oh, I did this and I did that and I have this issue and I went through that issue and I hurt this person and I'm carrying this baggage and I can't get over that issue. No. That's the enemy trying to create condemnation to hinder the progression of us as children of God. But what we have to realize is when God calls us, when He calls us to do something, we already have it in us to do it. Amen? Number 8 is they were led by God to each place of purpose. Each place. Each step along the way, God led them. God led them to the point of receiving the mission. God led Mary to Elizabeth. God led Joseph to say yes to keeping Mary. God led both of them to Bethlehem. God led them to a stable with a manger. God led them to another place, to Egypt after that. So they're not in harm's way from Herod. Every step of the way, with everything that mattered, God led them. With every step of purpose, with every need, with every point of position that they had to be in, they were led by God. And it's the same way with us. God will lead us to every step that matters, to every intricate detail that is going to make the difference for the next step and the next process and the next level. God is going to lead us through. God just doesn't drop a mission or drop a mandate or drop a calling on our life or get us connected with this person that He wants us to minister to without leading us. He will lead us in conversation. He will lead us in deed. He will lead us in action. He will lead us in position. He will lead us in placement. He will lead us to the right church. He will lead us to the right people. And sometimes it's not a big voice from heaven saying, take a right here. Then you're going to go 500 steps and take a left here. Then you're going to meet a person with black hair and blue eyes. And they're the person that you're going to talk to. Then you're going to meet another person that's going to hook you up with $1 million for this giant ministry. It doesn't work that way. But each step of the way, God leads us. When Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem, they didn't know they would be led to a stable. And when they got in the stable, they didn't know they would be led to a manger. And when they got to that point, they didn't know they was going to be led to Egypt. But God was faithful because God is faithful. And sometimes we don't fulfill the missions because for whatever reason we have a brain freeze and we have a heart lapse on believing and trusting that God is faithful with how He leads us. But God leads us every step of the way. And just because we don't see how God is going to lead tomorrow, today, doesn't mean He's not going to lead us. Doesn't mean He's not going to fulfill His promise. Complete the purpose. Position us for what we need. God led them every step of the way. Number 9 is God provided everything that mattered to the mission. God will provide everything that matters to the mission. And please remember when I'm talking about purpose and mission, I'm talking about the small one-on-one run-ins that you have in town that God leads you to a purpose or a person at a specific time, to the big old leave everything behind and go do something in another country or another part of the state or wherever for God. Remember, I'm talking about a mission from God can be as so small as a conversation with a longtime friend. It can be as so big as you move to another part of the world and do something you've never dreamed of. It's still a mission. And one isn't greater than the other. One might reach more lives than the other, but one's not greater than the other. It's still a mission and a work of the kingdom. And God and everything that we have need of, God will provide on the mission. You may not want to talk to somebody because you think, I just don't have anything to say. You know how many times I've had to talk with people outside of my element of experience or outside the rim of my education? But I can honestly say that usually something supernatural happens. I get thoughts that I've never had before coming to me. I get words to describe things that I didn't even know I knew that word. I get stories, I get images, I get visions, I see things just boom. What is that? That is God providing for me what matters for the purpose. Does that make sense? There's a place in Scripture, and I'm sorry, I don't remember the details or the context, but there's a place in Scripture that we are taught to just speak, and God will give us the words to speak. Say that again, Brad. You remember better than I do. Do you know where that's at in the context? Open your mouth and he'll fill it. Why? Because God provides what matters. Number 10. Now I can go ahead and have the worship team go ahead and come on up. And you guys get ready to do the very last song that you did, the God Be Glorified one. That was beautiful. Number 10. Because Mary and Joseph said yes, they allowed the true meaning of Christmas to be a reality. We celebrate the true meaning of Christmas today because Mary and Joseph embraced what they were called to do. And so what is the parallel? What is the application? We can allow the true meaning of Christmas to stay, and I capitalize in my notes, stay. We can allow the true meaning of Christmas to stay a reality because it's a battle right now. The true meaning of Christmas is becoming less and less of a reality. And Lorana was in a store the other day, and I probably seen 100 things of Santa and maybe 2 things of Jesus. And this is, quote, a Christian company. We're losing the reality of Christ in a season where the reality should be about Christ. I don't have no qualms with Christmas. I like Christmas. I like the chubby white-haired, long-bearded dude. I wish I could grow a long white beard like that, but my wife is like, oh, no, you ain't. That's fun. We need to have fun in life, right? It's exciting for our kids. But, man, we cannot lose the reality of what this season is about. And by us following in the steps of Mary and Joseph, being a light in the darkness, being a word of love to those in need, being used by God in whatever capacity that He sees us fit to be used by. In our reality, guess what we keep alive? We keep the reality of Christmas alive, the true reality of Christmas alive. Because if we're used by God to give Jesus, to share Jesus, to connect people with Jesus, then guess what? Jesus becomes the Christmas reality. Jesus becomes a reality from January the 1st all the way through December the 31st. And in seasons like Christmas and seasons like Easter and in seasons to where churches do special things, just the reality of Jesus just becomes greater, becomes more. Becomes significant, where life isn't about Easter bunnies and chubby old dudes giving presents away, but life becomes about Jesus. See, if life isn't about Jesus, it's not Jesus' fault. It's not the church's fault. If life is not about Jesus, guess whose fault it is? It's my fault. It's my wife's fault. It's the council's fault. It's your fault because we're not living and we're not giving Jesus. But if we live Jesus and we give Jesus, then guess what? Jesus is going to be a reality in the highways and the byways of this world. We have to make Jesus a priority. He has to be our first love. He has to be our focus. Not only for our benefit, but for the world's benefit. Let's really see it as it is. We're more like Mary and Joseph than we realize. They were called. We are called. They said yes. we can say yes. They impacted lives, we can impact lives. They made Jesus a reality, we can make Jesus a reality. Amen? Look at someone and say, it's about Jesus. Can you say, I love Santa, but I love Jesus more?